For the scripture reading, it is from Romans 12, 1 through 3, and Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Please rise if you are able, and let us sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is Without Him. It is found on page number 332 of your red hymnal if you choose to follow along there. So let us sing.
Without him I would be drifting. thought I'd come back and sit with you. I don't think too quick sometimes, so you asked if you could sing that before service. I said yes. I'm sorry for standing in the way so people couldn't see you while you were singing, so we'll do that another time too, okay? With a better camera, then it'll be on live stream. So if anybody else wants to impromptu sing, just tell me to get out of the way. Imagine that you're not feeling well, so you schedule a visit with the doctor. And after your checkup, he tells you you've got heart problems. We need to perform surgery. And in time, you find yourself on the operating table, and the doctor is pulling out his tools of the trade, including, of course, a scalpel. A doctor, you say, this is before you've been put to sleep. A doctor, you say, that looks very sharp, very painful. Do you think you could use something different? Well, what did you have in mind? And after a moment's thought, you reply, well, maybe a feather duster. That wouldn't hurt so much. The doctor smiles, pulls a feather duster out of his cabinet, brushes it several times over your heart, and then says, there you go. Good as new. What would you think of that doctor? Surely you would think he was a quack, right? Although the scalpel may hurt, it's necessary for the healing of your heart. It seems absurd to imagine asking a doctor to perform surgery on your heart without cutting into you, which probably causes some pain. And though we would never expect this kind of painless treatment in the physical world, we often expect that kind of painless recovery time or correction time in the spiritual world. We want God to perform healing on our hearts without causing us any pain or any trouble. This is exactly the mentality that Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, where he writes, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Elsewhere in Scripture, the Word of God is described as sharp and piercing and is necessary for our spiritual well-being. Yet, how often we might say, I'd rather hear something that entertains me, that tickles my ears. But God's Word is like that doctor's, that surgeon's scalpel. Its purpose is not to entertain. Its purpose is not to tickle. Its purpose is to wound. But in that wounding, it brings healing to our wayward hearts. Are you willing to come under the knife of the Word of God, allowing it to injure you so that you can be healed? Or do you merely want to be entertained? Wounding or tickling? One way is painless, but it leads to spiritual weakness and even disease. The other way may be painful, but it's the only way to spiritual health and strength and everlasting salvation. A reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need at times to take a scalpel to the pattern of the world and how much we have aligned ourselves with that pattern, cutting ourselves away for the renewal of our mind, for the transformation by the renewing of our mind. Do we want to choose the scalpel or the feather duster? Wounding or tickling? The pattern of the world or God's will? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. A quick correction, if you're looking at the sermon notes or sermon outline in the bulletin, underneath Romans 12, the first line says, offering ourselves to the God. That "the" is not supposed to be there. I forgot to take that out. Or it could be offering ourselves to the God. But I wanted to make sure that note. Offering ourselves, it's our choice. It's our decision to go with the world or to go with God. Not conforming to the pattern of the world, whatever that pattern is. Because that pattern can be different for each and every one of us. You're stuck with my take on certain things. Anytime you want to share your take, you can come up here on a Sunday and have at it. One of the things that I constantly amazed about the American world, I don't know about the rest of the world, but the American, is fads. The latest craze, and how people get on board with that latest one. And this is a few years old, but I just do a lot of driving and I see it everywhere. And if you have one of these in your yard, I apologize. But those black silhouettes cut out of plywood or something else, you know, it can be a soldier, it can be a rifleman, it can be a hunter, it can be a dog, it can be any kind of thing. And they that fad just swept. That's just an illustration. There's nothing wrong with having that. But fads of the world can easily infiltrate our hearts. And we can get caught up with them. And depending upon what that fad is, it can pull us away from God. I'm not really sure what's current on the American dream. A few decades ago, the American dream was to have a bigger and better house. And if you had the biggest house in the neighborhood and someone built bigger than you, then you had to build a bigger one. That might be celebrity status, I don't know, but that was the American dream. Well, if we get caught up in that, trying to outdo our neighbors, that would be a pattern of the world. Because the gospel teaches us not to try and outdo, but to serve our neighbors, to be lowly and serve. That scalpel, it's revealed in James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? It's pretty strong language, hatred toward God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. It's a dangerous place, friendship with the world. Signals should be popping off in our minds as we live through each day. Friendship with the world, any kind of unbiblical lifestyle. I know that it's customary for Bible teachers and pastors and to put that list out there. What is unbiblical? What is that list that you should not do? 50s and 60s had a lot to do with clothing and with the music you listened to or weren't supposed to listen to. In the 80s, when I came to Archbold for the first time, there were things about cards and dancing. I was back in the mid-80s, I was helping with the youth, but we were not allowed to play cards in the church building. But you could play cards at your house. You could not dance at a church function, but dancing would happen in other places. And pastors, there's a lot of sermons out there about telling you what you should not be doing. And whenever you do that, you're pointing fingers, but we can't catch it all. God knows the pattern of the world, and God knows His will. And the renewing of our minds comes through the study of His Word. We have to know His Word in order to know what's going to renew and transform us. Because whatever list out there of activity you should and shouldn't do, it all comes back once again to the heart. Worldliness is a matter of the heart. Where does your heart stand? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that process look like? It certainly involves reading the scripture. It certainly involves prayer. It certainly involves worship and study, fellowship. That process is ongoing for that renewing of our minds. And then if we quickly look at Ephesians chapter 2, a Christian's life is no longer following the ways of the world. If you were in the Parlor Sunday School class this morning and some of the coverage and all that stuff about the Olympics, there's a lot of the world in there, and some of those things may be offensive to Christians. Again, another example. Alive with Christ. We're alive with Christ because of God's great love for us. Such a great love that he sacrificed his own son, that we would know grace and we would know salvation and know that that is a gift of God. And why? To do good works. To do good works of sharing the gospel, of being that salt, that flavoring, that savoring to others. Which takes us to Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. In the context of the day, we are the salt of the earth. That challenge is put out there by Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know that salt flavors food and salt preserves food. Salt was valuable in the first century. It was so valuable, sometimes it was used to pay wages, especially if you were a soldier. Small little grain of salt may not seem very big, very valuable, but it is valuable in the eyes of the Lord. Christians, as salt of the earth, we are to flavor life. We are to flavor the lives of others with the gospel. I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to think about the people who have flavored your life, who have been the salt in your life of faith. Just take a few moments and think about some of those people who have flavored and helped preserve your life in Christ. As you keep thinking, I challenge you to think about that list, and I challenge you to offer prayers up to the Lord for those people who have salted your life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do that pretty much on an annual basis. I know that's not very frequently. Believe it or not, and I think I've said this before, but my obituary, might be this long by now, my obituary is already written. And I wrote it in a different way that it is not detailing my life at all. But in there, I have the people's names who have salted my life. All the way back to my 5th and 6th grade Sunday school teachers, to I can't tell you who the latest person was that I put in there. But I go back and I check and I add. And the caveat is there, everyone that's been connected with St. John's Christian Church. Because in some way, you have flavored my life. And I give praise to God. But I revisit that list, thankful for God putting those people in my life. Now, the next thing to be thinking about are those people that you're going to flavor, those people you are going to season and preserve. Who are you going to be the salt to that they can praise God for your presence in their life? We are to flavor life. We're also to help stop the spread of evil. When something is wrong, we need to speak up for what is right. And when something is right, we need to get behind that and support it and lift it up. Remember, salt that has lost its saltiness which really is not possible, but that's not why Jesus put this in there. He wants us to be the salt. But if it loses its salt, it is thrown away, good for nothing. Christians, you can never be thrown away. You are valuable. And Jesus Christ wants you to make a difference in the lives of other people. I shared this in Sunday school. Little boy named Julian, he was in my cabin last year, and he wasn't very well behaved, and I didn't give a very good report to his parents at the end of the time. Julian must have had a better experience than I thought, because he came back this year, and he's going into fourth grade, and he was much better. I mean, he was better behaved. He was wanting to read the Bible at night. He goes, "Now what do I read, Eric? What do I read?" And I give him a passage. That lasted for two nights, and then we had to go to sleep and stamina, you know. But I noticed a difference. And one of the things I noticed about Julie in the second week was he could not cheat. He had learned something in the year that he couldn't cheat. And we would play games, and oh, he found himself doing something wrong. He'd stop it. Reverse it, and he'd go on. And I got to tell his parents. And in his lifetime, going into the fourth grade, 34 different foster care placements. 34 different. And stability and security was missing. But the parents that picked him up are now his adoptive parents. He was with them for 2 years. They adopted him in May. And you can see the change in just that year. And they were very pleased with the good report I gave him, because the dad told me, "Oh, I remember what you told us last year." But that tremendous change. God places people in our lives. Now, that change wasn't left up to Pastor Eric. But I could see that change and all the things that Julian had experienced in that year in between. Whether it's a third and fourth grader, whether it's an 84, a 54, 104, God puts people in our lives to be able to season and flavor with his love and with his peace. Amen to the glory of God.
Before I invite the ushers forward to collect our tithes and offerings, let's dedicate them. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
As I invite the ushers to come back in and receive the second offering for our capital campaign, I'm going to share a litany with you. 1997, service door replacements, $13,000. 1997, doors and window replacement, phase one, $86,000. 1999, stained glass window refurbishment and reinstallation, $48,000. The year 2000, AC replacement, $14,000. 2001, steeple and porch pillar repairs, $35,000. 2002, land purchase, $500,000. 2003, carport entrance accessibility, $12,000. 2005, chapel seating and carpet, $12,500. 2007, roof project, $117,000. 2015, tuck pointing, cleaning, and sealing of the brick of the stone exterior of the church, $52,000. 2015, storage building construction, $92,000. 2016, office renovation, $20,000. 2017, playground replacement, $45,000. A total of $1,046,500. Every time there's been a capital project, the funding has been addressed, the faithful giving of the congregation has taken place, and the projects have been well received. We are now in that mode. The project's getting finally, all the details are coming together. You can read about that in the visitor. And now we need to continue to pay for not only the project before us, but also to prepare for the future. We do not want to deplete all of our investments for future capital projects. So thankful for your faithfulness in the past, and we trust in your faithfulness in the future.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is Living for Jesus. It is found on page number 372 of the red hymnal, if you choose to follow along there. Following the closing hymn, we will have the spoken benediction, and then we will have the benediction and song. The benediction and song is Freely, Freely. We will sing verse one of Freely, Freely, and that is found on page number 447 in your red hymnal. So let us sing Living for Jesus.
Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. And he sends us forth to be both that salt to the world, that we might season and flavor and preserve for the glory of God. Amen.